can remain standing, please. And from the Gospel, we will be reading from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 17, found in your pew Bible on page 939. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that bears no fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already made clean by the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If a man does not abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This I command you, to love one another. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be.
Please be
seated. Our society is a society that worships, if you will, the individual. We have many, many examples of this. Why else would Marlboro have the Marlboro man striding across the mountains? The rugged individual doing his own thing, being his own man. That might be kind of blatant, but you only have to look at the tabloids in the supermarket to realize that much of our nation is consumed with a cult of celebrity. Whoever is famous, whoever is the in thing, is who we focus on. Indeed, some people do nothing about their lives but try to find their 15 minutes of fame. Some even go into criminal depths to do so. We look for people, a great leader to save us, an individual to lead us. We look for some special person to find the way. We go from one to another as each disappoints us and continue to look for that person. It even happens to us in our personal lives. When you think about how we treat our buying habits, our living habits, and even our religious habits. What will make me happy? What will make me look good? Things will make me happy. I need to keep up. Every appeal on TV is an appeal to satisfy some unnamed, some unfelt, some unfulfilled need that has been prompted in you by the idea that everyone has it and wants it. Even as we talk about our faith, we have bought into the idea that religion is a private matter. My faith is a private matter. It is only me that is concerned in this issue. Indeed, after Easter, many people say, I'm done with church until next year. I've heard the old story. I know I'm saved. I believe in Jesus. I am going to heaven. And on the back burner, Jesus goes, and into the forefront comes the many splendid things that we can do in the spring and the summer. Our culture, and indeed our churches, are consumed with what's in it for me. What about me? If I've got mine, then it's okay. You can even hear it in the hymns we sing. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Why can't it be blessed assurance, Jesus is ours? This is my story. No, this is our story. This is our song. The fact of the matter is that when Jesus lived his life on this earth, and when Jesus marched himself to Jerusalem, and when Jesus marched himself up to that cross and was hung on it, Jesus had already given birth to the church. The fact of the matter is that what Jesus' resurrection created was not a bunch of individuals saved and getting ready to go to heaven. Do you know what Jesus' resurrection created? Jesus' resurrection created the church. Through whom individuals are saved and who go to heaven. Think about it. Think about the scriptural story. Jesus began his ministry. What did he do? He wandered along the seashore picking at the crabs, and he saw Peter and Andrew and called them and said, come, follow me. Do you think Peter and Andrew were saved in any sense that you and I understand it? No. And he saw John and James, and he called them, and they came too. And people began to gather, and Jesus appointed 12, but that wasn't the only people that were following him. There were others. Jesus started with a group of people. He started with the church, and it was through that group of people that people were saved, not by the power of the group, but by the power of Jesus Christ and him crucified, dead, buried, raised again. Now I know that I'm treading awfully close to the idea that there is no salvation without the church. Let me make it clear. Jesus does save you personally. It is blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. And we're going to keep on singing it that way. But we also need to remember that this Jesus is clear in Scripture that even though we know Jesus would have died for us only, Jesus died for all. And that Jesus grafts us into himself. And that what Jesus grafts into himself, the true vine, can be fed only from Jesus. Listen to some of the words that are used to describe the church. And we'll begin to understand that maybe we need to revisit some of these things. The church has been called the body of Christ, the branch of God's planting, the bride of Christ, the church of the living God, the church of the firstborn, the church of the living God, the congregation of the Lord's poor, the flock of God, the fold of Christ, God's building, God's heritage, holy city, holy mountain, holy hill, house of God, inheritance, kingdom of God, Lamb's bride, Lamb's wife, pillar and ground of truth, a pleasant portion. When you invite somebody to come to church and they say to you, "Oh, I'm faithful to Jesus Christ. I believe in Jesus. But I don't believe in the church. Look at what the church has done. The Crusades, supporting slavery, all sorts of things, the Inquisition, all the horrible things the church has done. They never stop to say or think what the church has done good. Do you know that there are at least 4 institutions in our community that exist because of the church? A hospital, a university, a legislative democratic society, and a judiciary. Basic core elements that we depend on had their founding and their support out of the church. When somebody says they don't believe in the church, they blaspheme. They use God's name in vain. They blaspheme God. Because the church was created by God's Son to be the body of Christ. And anybody who has the mind of Christ wants to be a part of that vine. And seeks to draw their sustenance and their health and their living and their future from that grafting into that vine. It isn't about pleasing the other branch. It isn't about being independent. It is about our relationship with Christ. And the fact that we thrive in our relationship with Christ because we gather in Christ and we are fed in Christ. One of the tasks that you and I have as part of the church is that we are called to mourn the fact that sometimes the church has gotten it all wrong. But what does that mean? What does it mean when you find out that you have gotten it all wrong? What do you do? You turn and confess. Experience and ask for God's forgiveness and go on with your life in Christ. Is it any different for the church? No. We are wise and humble about our faults, but we should be no less advocates about its successes and its necessity. The church is necessary. The church is required. The church is Jesus' creation and the body of Christ. And so for us, as we move into this very strange and open future that is coming upon us, one of the ways in which we can do this together is to understand that God has called us, what did Gail say in the reading? To love one another. And that's just not a trite little saying, but it is to support one another and encourage one another and to stay committed to the body of Christ, to seek to be fruitful, to seek to love, to be patient, to be kind, to be wise, and seek to shine the light of Christ into a darkened world. When I press you to invite people to come to church, I want you to be confident that the church is the creation of Jesus. And I want you to be confident that for all the faults that we might possess, that it is here and only here that one can know and hear with any security and consistency the good news of Jesus Christ. And that it is here that we commit ourselves to praising Christ, praising God, loving one another, and helping one another be faithful and fruitful. That's what we seek to be, because that's what Christ calls us to be. We might forget sometimes, but we don't ever have to stay in that forgetful mode. We can turn and go and continue to live. We are called to be a we, not just a me. And one of the most amazing things about the faith that we live is that Christ loves us each for who we are, and calls us to work together to be who He is for all time's sake. We never lose our individuality when we're part of the body of Christ. We lose our individuality when we're called to follow false prophets and false saviors. Never in faith that Jesus teaches are we called to follow blindly without trust in the one who has died for us. We have, by God's gift, a special gift. Every church has this: the invitation and the assurance that we are the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood, and made for ministry and mission in the world. And so maybe I'm saying it without the church. Perhaps there isn't salvation. Amen.